This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's take a look at some of the business news this morning. We've got Datuk Sri Mustafa Mohamad, International Trade and Industry Minister, saying that the intended border adjustment tax, which will be levied on imported goods into the US, this is the one that Donald Trump has announced, could potentially be destructive to the global supply chain. Here he is.
There appears to be a big policy shift encouraging American companies to come back home and discouraging American companies from going out. This is evident from a number of statements coming from the states. But these companies, many of them have been here for a long time, for four decades, well entrenched in Malaysia. So for practical purposes, we do not see this policy having a big impact of getting these companies out of Malaysia, moving back to the states.
That was the MITI Minister, Datuk Sri Mustafa Mohamad, talking about how Malaysia could be impacted by the imported border adjustment tax, right? So, you know, there was a recent report by Deutsche Bank that said Malaysia could be among the top five countries to be hit by this.
Yeah, number four to be exact. Top of the list, obviously, Mexico, given that Mexico has very much been front and center when it comes to Trump lambasting other countries who have a trade surplus with the US. But then, Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, also among the top five who could be in line for a big hit. Again, I mean, keeping in mind that as it stands right now, many of these details about Trump's foreign policies, be it on taxes or this border tax, they're very much proposals right now. Details are still lacking. So very much still a wait and see. But I mean, as it stands, certainly it's garnered a lot of commentary, and not just companies, American companies, but also national economies have to brace themselves for the potential impacts.
I think they would definitely have to go through the legal complexities over there, having to pass Congress and the Senate and so on. There is a comment here by Socioeconomic Research Center Executive Director Li Hengjui, who said that we should look out for how the negotiations with NAFTA goes, and this will be a precursor of how the U.S. deal with the other Asian markets. And NAFTA was such a landmark negotiation, landmark grouping that was formed at that time, and that formed the major bulk of the policy between U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
Well, I mean, but given the fact that, you know, within the first day of Trump entering the White House, he's already signed that executive order to withdraw the U.S. from the TPP. I think that's all the kind of signal that we need for right now. But at the same time, I think this news flow is rather timely as well, given that today at noon, we've got January's trade data coming out. So according to the Bloomberg survey, January's exports and imports should see a double-digit on-year rise. Now, we saw a similar trend in December as well. Again, double-digit on-year rise for December, both exports and imports. January expected to see the same, perhaps on the lower base effect thing. But nevertheless, this is a space that we have to continuously monitor, because when you consider how exports accounted for about 70% of Malaysia's GDP overall in 2016 in terms of capital expenditure or in terms of expenditure components, what does that number mean? It means that it is important. It is a key component of Malaysia's economy. Any risk, any threat to it, i.e. Trump's proposed policies, we got to closely monitor.
So what time was that? Noon, you said?
Noon today, yes.
Noon today. Okay, well, keep an eye out for that. But taking a look at other news, Lembaga Tabung Haji is believed to have bought the headquarters of Centrica, which is the parent company of British Gas. Now, this purchase was done via Gatehouse, which is a London-based Sharia-compliant bank. Gatehouse had initially given intention to purchase the office building last year. But quite interesting, because this is, what's £56 million we're looking at Tabung Haji buying this building?
Yeah, so that's about, 250, 300 million ringgit there. Mm-hmm. According to recent news reports, Lembaga Tabung Haji had earmarked about, £2 billion ringgit for overseas property investments. I think this ties in rather nicely with what you guys, Julian and Mel, what you guys spoke about earlier this morning from the 6 to 7 hour, right? Whether investing overseas in properties is a prudent investment decision.
It's going to be the topic of today's property show at 9:30. Keith Kam is going to be giving us a look at the ins and outs of buying property overseas if you want to do that for an investment purpose.
Right. So Lembaga Tabung Haji, obviously, not waiting for what will be discussed on the property show today. They've already, or according to this media report, gone about and done so. You know, but if you look at, say, their recent dealings in just in the UK alone, they have bought and sold several properties in the UK already. This is reportedly the latest one. So, and it's not just them. EPF as well. We've spoken about that, looking to, you know, invest more overseas.
But it's not just Malaysia as well. I mean, China is also very interested in buying property overseas. I think they bought the City of London's tallest tower, $1.4 billion. Clearly, the Cheese Grater building was bought by a Chinese venture, CC Land Holdings. It was a joint venture between CC Land and British Land and Canada's Oxford property.
Yeah, so it's...
Someone has obviously sat down and done some number crunching, because estate agent Seville's reckons that house prices in London have risen by £105 a day on average since 2011, right? So someone did that numbers. But I think that the decision to go out into the world to buy properties, it could be a tactical decision in the short term, because the pound is pretty weak because of Brexit and all the other world events that we couldn't predict. So the next move could very well be a bounce. But then again, the ringgit is also very weak. I see that it's kind of hitting historic low with the Sing dollars, also very weak against the US dollar, flirting with a multi-year low.
Yeah, but that, and it's interesting that London appears to be the target, you know, for all these acquisitions, right? Considering that London was the only area in the UK where, say, occupied demand fell in the fourth quarter. So, you know, again, it goes back to the whole timing issue, right? So we've got this perceived weakness there, expected to feed through into lower rents in the next 12 months. I'm not quite sure if this is just the the residential space, or perhaps even the commercial space. Obviously, with this Lembaga Tabung Haji building, that is the HQ for Centrica, you know. But essentially, with this perhaps dip, you know, in the London property space, perhaps timing is key here, not just in terms of currency, but also the sentiment surrounding property in the UK.
Okay, it's a few minutes up to the 9 o'clock news. But before that, shall we take a look at the recently released Malaysia's 50th richest people, as compiled by Forbes Asia. Now, taking a look at this list, there's some familiar names in the top five. Of course, you've got Robert Kwok at the top of the list, net worth of $11.4 billion, and Tan Sri Kwek Leng Chan at second, as well as Ananda Krishnan at third. So some familiar names, but it's really interesting because there are newcomers on this list and those that have dropped out of the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the incumbents, the so-called incumbents, right, of the rich list, Anand Krishnan stands out because he lost 12% of his wealth over the last year because of that controversy about his investigation by the Indian authorities in connection with the corrupt cases. And also Robert Kwok has perennially been number one. And it's so fascinating that the Malaysian press loves to claim him as one of our own. I think he maybe is still a Malaysian in citizenship, but he hardly spends any time here in Malaysia. He's based in Hong Kong and his business is sprawling globally. Whereas if you look at some of the other incumbents, you know, Lim Kok Tay and Nana Krishnan, they have a fairly Malaysian-centric type of investment.
I think interesting, the newcomers. Let's take a look at the newcomers to the list. We've got the brothers of Press Metal, the two biggest shareholders of Press Metal, Kun Po Ming and Kun Po King. They are both at 13th spot with just over $1 billion worth. Interesting because Press Metal, you know, being an aluminum producer, was really in focus recently because of the oversupply in China. But now Press Metal doing really well. The share price of the company surged 2.5 times in this past year, putting the brothers on this list.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider that Press Metal shares this time a year ago, it was below 1 ringgit per share. As of I just checked just now, it was about 2 ringgit and 50 cents right there. You know, so again, hence that. propelling them into the top 50 richest tycoons in Malaysia, at least according to this Forbes list. Also, another newcomer will be Wong Tien Soon. He co-founded the Walmart EG. All right. So, given the kind of news flow and their order books being padded up by various government contracts in the electronic services area, so that certainly is boding quite well for him.
That's interesting because it's based on kind of online internet model. There was this other online focus guy, Patrick Grove, at number 35th, worth about $400 million. He was the co-founder and chief executive officer of Catcher Group, and now they really want to, they're going by the motto of disrupting things daily. It's looking to shake up the subscription video on-demand industry, he's involved with iFlix.
That's right. Some of the people who have dropped out of the list include Carex, the CEO of Carex, Goh Siang. So, they've got Carex that dropped out. Kritam Holdings as well dropped out from the list. So, quite interesting to see. Maybe commodities? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you think with Carex, given the bullish prospects for rubber gloves, with the stronger dollar usually boding well for their kind of sales.
It's a very different kind of rubber glove.
Well,
it doesn't wrap around a hand.
Anyway.
It's latex.
Dude.
Okay. Family friendly, guys.
Yeah. Anyways, rubber products, I meant to say. How do you go from there? How about the funeral services innovator? Let's bring things more morbid now. Tan Sri David Kong, moves up 10 spots.
You're moving from life to death.
Yeah, I know.
Prevention.
Life. Yeah,
prevention of life.
Okay, man. I'm going to end this conversation.
Yeah, this totally derailed. Thanks, Julia.
The opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia, which is coming up next with Keith Kam in the News Bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.